a passage that I think most of us tend to be a little uncomfortable with. And we find it actually in two places. I'll read both. But we find it in Matthew 15, starting in verse 21. The scripture says, "Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him, crying out, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly.' Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, 'Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us.' He answered, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel.' The woman came and knelt before him. 'Lord, help me,' she said. He replied, 'It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs.'" Again, we see the same story in Mark chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. "Jesus left that place and went to the region of Tyre. Not wanting anyone to know he was there, he entered a house. But he was unable to escape their notice. Instead, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit soon heard about Jesus, and she came and fell at his feet. Now she was a Greek, a woman of Syrophoenicia, origin. And she kept asking Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. 'First, let the children have their fill,' he said. 'For it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs.'" I think that a lot of us, when we listen to this story, we feel uncomfortable. It makes us feel kind of bad. I was in a Bible study one day when we were covering this passage, and there was a man in the study who just said, I almost wish those passages weren't even in there. It just seems so mean, so callous. You have a mother begging for help for her little girl, and first she's met with stony silence, and then Jesus just insultingly refuses her. It doesn't seem right. The woman is a very sympathetic character. We immediately, our hearts go out to her, immediately. I think it's made us so uncomfortable that I've heard some explanations to try to make this story more palatable. One was that Jesus was just testing her faith. He was going to help her out. He had every intention of doing for her what she'd asked. But he was going to test her faith. It was a teachable moment. I was even reading a book once where the author talked about that Jesus was doing this with humor. That there was mutual teasing. That Jesus, you're just a dog, aren't you? Oh, you're Jesus, you're so funny. That kind of attitude. But what if Jesus meant exactly what he said? What if this woman comes to Jesus begging him, "Help me with this problem," and Jesus has no intention of helping? Does this seem outside of Jesus' personality? I don't know. We know that Jesus could have very biting responses. Jesus was not ashamed. Jesus did not have problems calling people hypocrites, sons of the devil, whitewashed tombs, blind guides. I'm not saying that Jesus just went around insulting everybody, but he could dish it out if he needed to. Also, Jesus didn't seem inclined to help everybody. In Matthew 25, we have the parable of the 10 virgins, where Jesus puts himself in the position of the bridegroom in the story. And he tells the 5 virgins that they miss his coming, so they're pounding on the door, "Let us in, let us in." And he tells them, "Go away, I don't know you. I have no relationship with you." In this light, when we think about that, Does it seem so far-fetched that Jesus would insultingly refuse to help somebody? I know we don't like it, but is it possible? For whatever reason, it seems that this woman had Jesus' disapproval. There was something about her that Jesus did not like. If so, what could it be? What could Jesus have found so unpleasant about this woman? We don't know much about this woman. The scriptures don't tell us a whole lot. We know that she's a Gentile. She could have been Greek. Scriptures say that she was Greek, but that could also be the Bible's way of saying that she was a Gentile. But it is probable that this woman engaged in pagan worship practices, which may have put her in contact with demonic forces. Possible. Paul seemed to think this in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 18 through 20, when Paul tells the church, "Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean then that food sacrificed to an idol is anything? Or that an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons." So Paul seemed to have an idea that, you know, pagan worships could lead to demonic influences. We see an example of this in Acts 16, verse 16 through 18, where a demon-possessed girl is falling around after Paul, saying, you know, "This man is telling you how to be saved. This man's telling you," and finally he has enough and he throws the demon out. Commentary that I read on talked about that this was very possible an oracle, and sometimes these oracles were used in pagan worship. If that's the case with this woman, I really don't know. Scripture doesn't really lay it out for us. But if that was the case, then this woman was victimizing her own daughter by her ungodly way of life. If that were true, it could make sense that Jesus would want nothing to do with her. Maybe Jesus would say, "Oh, you're doing that kind of stuff. Don't get near me. It's, that has nothing to do with who I am or what I do." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, Paul writes, "Of what fellowship can light have with darkness?" Maybe that was why Jesus was so harsh with this woman. Maybe that was why she had Jesus' disapproval. But whatever the reason, it just seems that she has it. But thankfully, good news for her, and good news for us, the story does not end there. The woman gets what she wants. She gets what she wants. But how does she do it? You see her answer in Matthew 15, verse 27 through 28. "Yes, Lord," she says, "even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their masters. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Verse 28, "O woman," Jesus answered, "your faith is great. Let it be done as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Or in Mark 7, verse 28 to 29, "Yes, Lord," she replied, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then Jesus told her, "Because of this answer, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon was gone. It was the way that this woman answered in the face of Jesus' disapproval that got her her miracle. So let's look at her answer, because I think it's very important. When we look at her answer, we see that her answer is twofold. It's two parts. First, she responds with, "Yes, Lord." Many times when Jesus harshly corrected or contradicted the religious leaders of his time, his opponents would become indignant. Far from becoming repentant, they would double down in their opposition to Jesus, ultimately leading to their plot to kill him. So Jesus would come down on them. How dare he? Who does he think he's talking to? I'm a righteous guy, and I'll show him how righteous I am by killing him. Because that made sense, right? But this woman's attitude is far different. She does not argue with Jesus, but she humbly accepts what he says about her. She makes me think of David's Psalm 51, where he says, "So that you may be proved right when you speak, and blameless when you judge." He is saying that you're the judge, not me. And whatever you say about me is right. I think the woman is saying the same thing here. Whatever you say about me, you're right. You're the Lord. Whatever you say about me, you're right. But secondly, the second part of her answer, she does not give up. She can't afford to. She doesn't have the option of giving up. She humbly persists and pursues her desire. She responds with, "Even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." I think at this point she could have just walked away and said, "Yeah, Jesus called me a dog. I guess I'll just walk away now and go hide under the covers or something." She doesn't do that. She continues. She keeps going on. She's saying that even though I may be a dog, even though I may be unworthy, what you say about me is right. Do this for me anyway. Give this to me anyway. Even if it be a crumb, do what you will for me. Do what I ask of you. She has acknowledged his power to save her daughter. She did that when she initially asked. But now she's showing faith in his heart, in his willingness. We see that this answer greatly pleased Jesus. So he gave her what she sought. She really did exemplify Hebrews 11, verse 6. When the writer says, "Without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who approaches him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." She did just that. She earnestly sought, diligently went after him. I think it's a mistake we run into to try to soften Jesus' words in this story. He's just testing her, but he's going to do it anyway. Or, there's humor involved. They're just teasing one another. Because when we soften Jesus' word, I think we take away some of the impact from the woman's response, from her answer. And we can learn a lot from her answer. What can we learn from her answer? Because just like her, we have all had God's disapproval of us. Every one of us. And apart from Christ, we still have it. Apart from Christ, we still have God's disapproval. John 3:35, 36, "The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." But even for those of us who have accepted Christ, and as Romans 8:1 says, that we have no condemnation now, we still do things. We still behave in ways, we still have attitudes that don't always get God's approval. Sometimes God looks at us and, "What are you doing? I disapprove of that." Even though he personally approves of us, that we have God's acceptance through Christ, Sometimes the things we do and say and think do not meet God's approval. For both groups of these people, the woman's answer tells us how to move from God's disapproval to approval. First, we accept what God has to say to us. We listen to Him. We understand what He says. We confess it. Confession means agreeing with God's understanding of us and our situation, even though it may be unpleasant or painful. Most of us don't like to hear about how we're failures. We really don't like to hear about that. It really bothers us. But when God tells us this, we need to have the humility to listen and to agree with Him. And secondly, despite our unworthiness, despite the fact that we may be dogs, we don't give up. We can't afford to. We can't afford to give up. We pursue God anyway. Having faith not only in God's ability to save us, but His willingness as well. Trusting in both God's power and His heart for us. I don't know about you, but on a personal note, I find this a struggle. There's times that when I did that, I can't believe I did that, or, you know, I'm sure that what I just did met with God's disapproval. It's so easy to shrink back, to not seek after God in His Word, to not seek after God in prayer, to not seek after God in His fellowship. That's 180 degrees different from what we need to do. When we have God's disapproval, we take it, the lesson from this lady. We go on. We pursue it. We agree with Him that, yeah, what I did was wrong, or what I said to this person was wrong. And you pursue Him anyway. And you receive the blessings that He gives.